a line someplace in the vehicle that when you your vehicle started, this line went hot, and then it would throw the relay. So if you were using the batteries, absolutely nothing would be taken off of the vehicle battery. It would all come out of the two batteries that were in the back. We used that for camping, running the radios for everything. When you started the vehicle would start normally, and then as soon as the vehicle started, it would throw the relay. You'd hear it click, and the relay would start connecting the two rear batteries in parallel with the front battery. And this is what they use on ambulances, fire trucks, police cars. The only other thing that these guys added was a line and a push button so that I could reach down, and if my starting battery was dead, I could push the button, it would throw the relay, and I could use the deep cycle batteries in the back, the two of them, as an additional boost to start the vehicle into oil.
Interesting. I've had similar things where basically, as long as my cable's big enough, I've been able to charge my vehicle from the rear, like my van. It's got an electrical box in the rear. You open up the lid, and there's two quarter 20 stud mounts that are insulated inside this little metal electrical box. And it's got wing nuts on each stud, plus, and one's marked red, one's marked black, and I've jumpered my regular battery, give myself a jump start, when it wasn't feasible to go to the front of the vehicle. In fact, I've even given myself a jump start on the main battery by having a pigtail, an Anderson Powerful pigtail on that connection in the rear, and just like a 12-volt power supply or a 13-8 power supply in it for a little while to give my main battery some life, and then I disconnect the power supply and start the car. So there's a number of solutions, whether they're the emergency start cutover like you're describing, Noel, or some other strategies that you can use to facilitate getting power to the main battery or to auxiliary equipment or both. It's really kind of cool. The other thing is I constantly forget the name of this company, and I'm just embarrassed. I for whatever reason, I can't keep it in my head, but they have yellow top, blue top, and red top batteries. And for our purposes, blue tops are the best. And by the way, AutoZone stocks them in their, I think, D34 size. I think it's the biggest one they sell. And I have one of those, and they're wonderful. The actual cells are cylindrical. They're very good. Anyway, there's a whole lot of options out there, boys, and, you know, go to town. Anything else from anybody else? Alrighty. Well, if there's nothing else in the net, just remind everybody that many of us will be gathering at the Fairlawn Radio Club tomorrow night, starting around 6-ish, I would think. And then there's, let's see, do we have any bar activities this weekend? Jim, can you remind me, when is the transmitter hunt?
Oh, this is K2ZO. No, transmitter hunt was last week, weekend. No, we have nothing going on. I guess the only thing going on is the Limar Camp Fest this Sunday, but I don't think I'm going to be going. They've got a little problem out there as far as the number of people in the place. Last time they had a fire department there because they had too many people. So, as you know, that place fills up and it's inside, so they're going to be limiting people. So once the place fills up, you're going to have to wait until somebody leaves. So I figured I don't want to end up in a situation like that where I'm standing out there in the cold waiting for somebody to leave. So that's what's going on there. But that's it. No, nothing going on this weekend other than that. Back to net.
Hey, yeah, very good. And keep in mind the second Saturday in December is the Troop 139 Crew 7373 Amfest in Bergen Field. and the Friday after Thanksgiving is the Farallon auction, which is not held at the community center, it's held at the senior citizen center. And let's see, I think that about covers what's coming up in the near future. So pretty nice stuff, pretty exciting, all good. Anybody else have anything they want to chime in with? Alrighty. Well, 7-3, everybody, thank you for participating. There were 18 of us, 19 of us, something like that tonight. It was really a nice turnout. And we'll see you soon. I want to thank the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of their wonderful 2-meter repeater in Alpine, New Jersey. And, you know, I encourage you to not only join Barra, but also to support BCFMA, which allows us to use their repeaters, Chestnut Ridge Radio Club, which allows us to use this repeater and their EchoLink. What do you call it? Enjoy maybe a little bit of fraternity around Farallon and many other clubs in the area as well. So 73, and have a great time, and go play radio. That's my advice. This is KTBARW2TTT off and clear, closing net. Thank you very much.
N2OEL disconnected.
WU2S, are you still there? WU2TTT?
This is WU2S, Gordon, go ahead.
I ask you, are you bringing the, do you have a socket box 330 by any chance, that large size they have?
Yeah, I'm bringing a set of those. That's what just came in, and I wanted to show them to you and the others to see what the thing looks like. So we'll see. I mean, it may prove useful, but I think it's also got the same longevity problems that pretty much anything built out of most of the resins has. That it's not going to be really long term useful. I guess you'd probably get a good year out of it, you know, if you were to leave it out completely exposed, but no longer than that. It does appear to have carbon black in it, so it won't UV deteriorate as fast.
Okay. Very, very good. That's an interesting problem. They sell it as an outdoor capable thing, and they don't make it UV resistant. You know, are you scratching your head yet?
No, not really. You gotta understand, you know, the market into which they're selling these. I mean, they're selling them mostly to people that are putting up strings of you know, lights around and decorations around their house for Christmas. So, even if it was sunny every day for the, you know, 6 weeks that it was out there, or maybe 8 weeks or 9 weeks tops that the thing was out there, that's really not a big deal. You know, and the other 10 months of the year, the thing's going to be sitting with the lights and decorations inside somebody's dark garage. So it's not going to get a tremendous amount of exposure.
I see. Yeah. That makes good sense. And of course, they put them out in November, December, January, where the amount of UV is pretty low.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the if I recall correctly, I think they're made out of polypropylene. I'll have to look at the thing again. So it's probably got a little bit, you know, a little bit better, you know, temperature tolerance. But even that stuff, you know, if you were to leave it out, you know, I suppose if you lived it in the Arctic or something and left it out all winter, by the time spring rolled around and you dug it out, it would probably be pretty brittle.
Yeah, exactly. Very, very good. Apparently I'm going to be getting a request to do a mesh talk from the Morris Radio Club. I just got a little note to that effect today from, oddly enough, a fellow scouter. That's interesting in itself. But, okay, well, these boxes are pretty cool. I mean, and, you know, compared to, should we say, the Linksys pizza boxes, how big are the insides?
I'm glancing over at the thing now. Looks like it's about 3 to 3.5 inches deep and probably 8 wide by 12 and a half long, something like that, the big size.
Okay, so it's, you could drop a pizza box in there and it would rattle around quite nicely.
It's, well, because it's the short dimension is, you know, significantly shorter, the whole pizza box wouldn't fit in there.
No? Let me think about that. 12 by what again?
It's about 12 or 13 in the long dimension, looks like about 8 or 9 in the short dimension, and 3 to 3.5 inches deep.
That would fit fine. May not fit the antennas, but that should fit fine. 8.5 by 12.5 by 3? Yeah, that'll fit fine. You should be able to drop one of those things in there and have room in every direction.
I guess, yeah, I mean, it seems to be a nice size, and of course, even I've got a couple of the smaller ones, too, so, you know, we can take a look at them tomorrow. You know, another thought occurred to me that I may want to try just for grins to see what could be done with it, is to actually mold a fiberglass box. You know, the advantage, I mean, a lot of advantages there, you know, one of which is that you can make the thing any size and shape that you want, including, you know, bump outs and that kind of thing. I mean, and I've worked with fiberglass enough, not that I'm a master at it, but I've worked with it enough that it's, you know, it's not that difficult to do. And of course, you know, the stuff will hold up to the weather. You can make it, you know, UV resistant in a whole bunch of different ways. And generally it's also RF transparent. So I'm wondering if maybe we might not be better off just custom designing something, or, you know, and doing a couple experiments that way.
Yeah, why not? That would be really good. So how does one do fiberglass in large enough and sane enough proportions, dimensions to do that? How does one, what, describe the process of it?
Well, there's a number of ways, but, you know, one of the ways I was thinking of is you make a mold, actually a plug of what the inside volume would look like. So let's just hypothetically say we've got some sort of you know, rectangular or circular plug that we've made out of cheap plywood. You know, it would look like the inside of a, you know, 3 gallon bucket, but perhaps rectangular if you wanted, or rectangular with rounded edges. So something about that size. So you make this thing, you know, roughly out of plywood, and then the next step is to, you know, seal the outside edge of it, so you put a couple of coats of polyethylene on it so you don't have bare wood on the outside. And then when all that's dry and ready to use, then you coat the whole thing with wax, and then you can lay your fiberglass cloth, or better yet, you know, resin impregnated fiberglass cloth on top of that, you know, and trim it and wrap it around. And then when you're done, you can pull the plug out, and you're left with this fiberglass shell.
You remember those green, I don't know if you've seen them, green NVG cases? Might be able to use that as a mold.
No, the case you're referring to doesn't ring a bell, sorry.
Well, what they are, they're about 10 inches by a foot by a foot, half shell kind of thing, but we could always, make one side and make it so it mates with itself. We just, you know, flush out the edges so that way two halves clamshell together with like a neoprene gasket, and you're done. So there's things we could do there.
Yeah, it's certainly all doable. Like I said, while Annette was going on, I was thinking about this and happened to glance over, and I've still got a fairly large roll of fiberglass cloth left over from a boat building project years ago, and I said, son of a gun, I'd forgotten all about that, but it's worth thinking about. I mean, it's a bit of work, and it's nothing you'd knock out in an evening necessarily, but it might be worth, again, I'm just suggesting it might be worth giving it a try once or twice just to see what kind of container we'd come up with. But I'd really want to think through the design of the thing before beginning it at all, and why don't you give some thought too as to what would be the optimal size and shape for some experiments, and then we can go there, and maybe we can build a couple of them.
Yeah, I like that idea. We could certainly put that to the test. That'd be kind of neat, actually. Roll your own container. We could even, with a little effort, essentially set it up so that we could then put our own fittings and furnishings in there. So if you wanted attachment points, you could just bury them in the layers of the laminate.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly how large fiberglass boats are built. Is that you start out with this sort of shell, but you've got all sorts of attachment points and hard points where, let's say, later you're going to attach, a cleat or a railing stanchion or a winch or something else that's going to have some pull on it. So you want some, real meat below it. And so on boats, they typically embed a big chunk of 3/4 inch marine plywood. It's in effect buried in layers of fiberglass on either side. So, a similar sort of thing could be done here, too, for, assuming you'd want to have attachment points on one side to, because you're gonna clamp it to a mast. Well, you don't want to have the mast clamp just across the fiberglass shell itself. You'd want something a little beefier. Well, you can bury that, same thing, knockouts for an antenna mount or, you name it. But that's why I was saying this, is it makes some sense to really think through the design carefully before we started prototyping one. Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra.
Yeah, I like that idea. I like that idea a lot.
We'll have to go through that a little bit. Like anything else, it's coming up with the basic design is half the battle. There's a cooler, the shell that might be useful as a mold. I was thinking about this. Would you put in wax? I'm trying to remember if you wanted to layer it into something like a polyethylene cooler, using the cooler as a mold, could you put down something so it doesn't stick to it? And you start laying in your impregnated, strips down there in some pattern, and build up the bathtub, and then when you're done and it dries, it cures, you pop it out of there and you're done.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the other sort of famous technique. That's how most fiberglass boats get built, although they don't use the, polyethylene containers, but they use, big molds, and then they, so you do the same thing. So, I like that idea. That makes a lot of sense. You can get spray-on or roll-on stuff. It's called mold release. Essentially, it's a type of wax product that you spray on all the surfaces, and before you start layering in the resin and the fiberglass, and that's exactly what it's for. So it's whatever your mold is made of, the resin is not going to stick to, and you can go ahead and push down on it and get it into all the little nooks and crannies if you have indentations, and then it still doesn't matter. And then when the thing's dry, you pry the whole thing out and pop it out. And if everything's designed properly, it pops out like an ice cube from an ice cube tray.
Yeah, that would be slick. That would be slick. All right. We're going to have to give that some thought. I will try to remember to bring that with me tomorrow. Because if I bring it, you are welcome to have it. And you can be the keeper of the mold, and if you destroy it in the process, mazel tov.
Okay. All right. Well, like I said, I'll be there tomorrow, and we're going to have a good time with show and tell and exchanging little bits of hardware.
Darn excited about that idea. I really am. We'll get to it. Go from there. I'm looking for van photos when I took pictures of, wherever I've taken pictures of my van. I gotta tell you, I'm kind of amazed as to how few pictures of my van I've actually taken over the years. I gotta go see if I can find my old hilltopping pictures. But you know how that is. I gotta see if I can actually dredge one up. Anyway. Alright, let me get going here. I wanna get some sleep. I gotta be up early tomorrow. I've got Verizon coming to essentially either replace electronics in my ONT or reseat and clean up the fiber. I have GPON, and it's some channels are just not passing muster. And depending on which TV it is, or actually any TV, some of the channels just are just missing. So that's not acceptable. So we got to solve that tomorrow and go from there. Anyway, we'll see you tomorrow night, and looking forward to it. W2S, W2TTT, off and clear for now.
Okay, Gordon, thanks, and good luck with your adventure with Verizon tomorrow. I hope it all works out. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing you and the gang tomorrow as well. This is Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, clear and off for the evening.
73W2TTT.
Giddy 2.
EUJ. Question for you guys, are you still up?
I'm sorry, I lowered the radio. Who was that again?
KD2EUJ. Pretty new to this, and I was listening to the guys a little bit earlier, and I was wondering what this event is in Fairlawn.
KD2EUJ, I'm Gordon, W2TTT. The other station is Randy, Whiskey, Uniform, 2 Sierra. And most Friday nights, with rare exceptions, the Fairlawn Radio Club guys just meet for just a general operate. You can operate, you can chat, bring projects, you can just sit around the conference table and BS if you want. But most of us try to do something reasonably productive while socializing. And so we hope that you'll come down if you'd like. It's at the Fairlawn Community Center, which is 10-10 20th Street in Fairlawn. And we're generally there about 6 o'clock. If you go in the main entrance of the building, just ask for the radio club, and they'll point you in.
Yeah, great, Gordon. Appreciate that. I heard, I guess it was Randy talking a little bit about 3D printing. I've got some interest in that. And also, I'm just really new to this whole amateur radio business, and I just got my call signs about a week ago after the FCC got back to work again. So it was 10.10 on 20th in Fairlawn, right?
At 10-10 20th Street, you betcha. By the way, there's another door on the west side of the building facing the little mini parking lot that faces 20th Street. And sometimes that door is open, so saves you having to go all the way around past the theater, all the way to where the gym is, and then walk back through the building. So, you know, feel free to, you know, try some of those side doors on that other side, 90 degrees from the side that faces the ball field, which is the alleged front of the building.
Yeah, great, Gordon. And what time? Yeah, I think I heard 6 or 6:30.
Yes, sir.
All right, great. Greatly appreciate that. And Gordon, I'm sure I'll hear you some more on this. But which repeater am I hitting here?
This is the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club 2-meter repeater. It's in Alpine. It's not on the Alpine Tower, but it's up in the Alpine Scout Camp, up on 9W, and works pretty well, and covers all over Metro in New York. It's got about 70 or 80 mile coverage. So hopefully you'll join us. I didn't catch your name.
Yeah, Gordon, this is Greg, and I'm located in the Morris Plains area, so I was kind of curious where I was reaching out to.
No problem. We actually had somebody else from Morris Plains checking in pretty regularly. Let's see, it was Rick W12CN, and there's somebody else, too. I'm just drawing a blank. But, hopefully we'll see you tomorrow. All of a sudden I did a brain fart. Your name again?
It is Greg, and it's KD2EUJ. And you were Gordon at W2TT?
Three T's. And the other station is Randy, Whiskey, Uniform, 2 Sierra. Randy, say a few words to Greg.
All right, great. Appreciate that, Gordon. And we'll see what we can do about freeing up tomorrow evening and catch up with KD2EUJ.
Okay, very good. Looking forward to seeing you. All right, Randy, was that you? I guess not. All right. Not a problem. W2TTT off and clear for now. 7-3, Greg. I got to go.
This is Alpha Juliet 4, Whiskey Delta Mobile listening.
connected. KC2YJD.
Hey, Victor, how are you? KB2TIA, mobile.
Not bad, man. Not bad at all. How about yourself?
I'm doing it.
So I guess you're on your way home then, huh?
Yep, by the sound of things here, I might have...
Okay. You gonna be on the base tonight?
No, but your mother is.
Well, have to see how it feels. Alright, put it down for a little while. KB2TIA.
Yeah, put it down.
Yeah, I'll catch you in a little bit, bro.
Good morning, Steve. KD2BOR.
Rocky, okay.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I'll be right back, bro.
Very good, Vic.
KC2YJV.
You know the call.
Very good. You hold me up, Steve? KC2YJV.
82 BOR, Vic, I don't know if you thought it was me. Give me another call at my shop.
Will do.
KC2YJV disconnected. Connected. KB2TIA.
KC2YJV.
Go ahead, Vic. KD2BOR.
Yeah, so like I was saying before, this is one of the microphones I had down here in the drawer there, Roger.
Very good. Sounds good. No problem.
I hope Charlie gets on tonight before I decide to go to sleep, so this way you can hear it.
Soonest you're going to hear Charlie is maybe if he keys up from his house when he's doing his chores before he leaves. Otherwise, you're not going to hear him till at least 2 o'clock.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, I think a lot of people told me that the audio is a lot mellower on this. And that they like this one a lot better.
Well, if that's what they're telling you, stick with it, because you switch around so much, I can't keep up with the different audios you have.
Yeah, the boy with the most toys wins. Wow, it got quiet out here, huh?
I don't know. Maybe people get tired and finally go to bed.
Yeah, either that or the loser found somebody else to bother.
Here's a guy trying to sell an TS-850. SAT. I tell you one thing, if people don't do any research and they buy these radios, they better know what they're doing first, because this one is a very old radio. It's in the 20 million serial number, and that radio's got big problems.
You know, like they say with this stuff with, like, eBay and everything, there's a sucker born every moment for these people.
That's why I did a lot of research before I bought the one I did. The newest one I could find is 50 million series, and I've seen a couple 60s and a 70, but I did a lot of emailing people that know Kenwood, and they said anything in the 50 series and up don't have the capacitor problems and the DD, I think I told you before, the DSS or DDS chip problem, they were changed.
All right, QSL. I'll tell you what, my usual repeater is hopping tonight. I'm surprised.
Yeah, I'm not going to say the frequency, but that's the one down by you, right?
Yes, sir.
I think you gave me that one.
Yes, sir. It's in your radio. Yeah, wait till I put my equalizer port on this microphone. Unity Game mic, it has...
phony shit. You ain't doing it on RF, baby. So you have a nice day. I gotta go. I got things to do.
Like your mother.
I know. So you gotta talk is cheap, baby. Talk is cheap. You get a real radio. Come see me.
Get a real license. Be smart enough to pass.
Get a real radio. Come see me.
Get a real license.
All right. You have a nice day.
See, I have a real house that welfare doesn't have to pay for it, dude. So you know what? I'd rather spend my money on that. He's too stupid to get a license. That's why he won't get one.
You know I ain't got one, asshole.
What the?
Because you know what? Because most hams have a higher IQ. And don't do the stupid shit that you do.
Take sixth grade math.
Try again.
You should take that antenna off that fire escape.
Well, okay, you gotta take it off the fire escape. Do whatever you gotta do. Do whatever you gotta do. Why don't you take it off for me? Okay, I gotta go now. You have fun, gentlemen. The most powerful station in Jersey City.
And the stupidest, too.
Powerful station in Jersey City with an antenna on the fire escape.
I'm the most powerful station in Jersey City. Oh, I have an IQ of 2. That was good.
Connected KB2TIA.
Hey, Rock.
Yeah.
Incredible, isn't it?
He's got to be on something. There's no doubt about it. Most people wouldn't act like this, you know?
He's a retarded ham wannabe. You know, he's probably on the CB. And, you know, look at the IQ.
Look at the IQ. What do you see in front of your eyes when they're closed?
There you go. Was there another station out here that was trying to get in before? I sort of heard a younger person out there, something about sixth grade math or something. KC2YJV. So you're busy tonight, Rock, or no?
The jobs aren't big. I got one more outside. I got to get in once I get a lift freed up here, but I'm in no rush to do anything right now.
Yeah, take your time. You're better off.
They finished up that water pipe at the girlfriend's house yesterday. Guys did nice work, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I'm sure that couldn't have been cheap.
Nah, it wasn't, that's for sure.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
82 B01, yeah, they were digging the trench and they came across a big, solid concrete thing. I don't know how big it was. They had the tunnel under it where the original water pipe was. They must have buried anything when they built that house around there.
Yeah, that's what a lot of the old contractors used to do. They used to bury everything just to shore up the ground. And I'm sure it didn't help putting pressure on the pipe either.
Where her house is used to be all farmland over there in North Arlington.
Yeah, well, God knows what buildings were there before her house was there. They could have had barns and everything else up there. What's your temperature up there tonight? We've got 39 down here.
I know, I didn't look at my thermometer in the truck when I was coming in. Our buddy didn't go to sleep yet either.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because he says he's the most powerful in Jersey City. You're not in Jersey City, and you can go right over him, so it doesn't matter.
He ain't going over nothing. You better listen to you on the input, asshole.
I guess you really don't know how stupid you sound. Yeah, keep Patrick on with me. It doesn't matter what you do. You're not getting over the top of me, man. No matter how much RF you're running, you can't do it. So, you're the loser.
You better get Echo Link.
Try getting a brain in your ham ticket first.
Stay on Echo Link. Listen to the input. That's the only way you're doing it.
What's the matter? No license? No Echo Link?
No, I go on Echo Link. You're not going to get my call sign there, asshole.
Why, we got your mom's phone number. It's right on the bathroom wall.
You ain't got shit, my brother. You ain't got nothing.
I ain't your brother. I don't have any retarded people in my family.
You ain't got shit. Whatever you think you got, enjoy it.
I wonder if he really talks like that, or if he just takes practice from little boys.
Talks like that, his mommy washes his mouth out with soap.
That's right. Don't let your parole officer hear you doing this.
KC2YJV. Simply marvelous. I'll be right back, Rock. Any other station out there? I'm going to go have me a cigarette.
Okay, Vic. 82 VOR.
KB2BOR, KB2TIA.
Hey, good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing good, buddy. I'm doing good. Have you been able to get into the Facebook group?
KC2YJV disconnected.
I haven't been on it in a couple days, Steve.
Okay, because in one of the posts I mentioned about that lighthouse over there on the Jersey Shore, and it might be cool to activate that. I don't know if you'd be interested in something like that.
Yeah, I got your messages. I have to see what I can do about, like I said, right now, I basically got nothing to operate, out in the field like that. I was thinking about it before I fell asleep last night, or even this morning when I woke up when I read most of your messages. I went to sleep early yesterday. I was beat.
Okay, I hear you. Well, I could always bring something. I mean, how many 10-meter radios do we need if we're going to do 10? If I get Jim to come along, and he brings his 817, we could run everything. You know, you could pick we could pick any band and you know, and operate. But I know with your license and everything, we could do 10. That would be no problem, especially with the way it's been. And Jim sent me a whole bunch of information about activating things like a lighthouse or something like that. So when I talk to you, I guess I'll fill you in more details. But it would be cool to do. And you said Jersey Shore would be doable, right?
Yeah, that wouldn't be too much of a problem for me. Yeah, I was thinking about all this the other day. I got to start looking around. It's getting near the end of the month, so I don't want to be purchasing anything right now from my Napa store. Let my bills stay where it is unless I have to. But just thinking about a battery and what I do have to pick up, Steve, even if I just, you know, because I can only do 10, I still got to pick up some type of antenna tuner, because unless I get an antenna that's dedicated for 10, then I can use my Ranger, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, the only concern would be depending on how many watts you're running and how much amperage you're drawing. And if the power source can handle that. I'm going out with Jim tomorrow. We're actually going to be operating. And, you know, my radio draws 7 amps and 1 amp on receive. And, you know, it's only a 30-watt radio. And it was plenty on 10 these days, you know. So I would think, you know, even if you had something around there, some kind of deep cycle battery, as long as it had a charge and you could run for a couple of hours, I would think.
Anyone know you?
Yeah, acknowledge, Charlie. Yeah, Steve, I'll talk to you more about this on the phone. I can turn the power down on that radio. It's no problem. I can bring it down to 25 or bring it down to 20 watts if I want to. All right, let's throw it over to Charlie. N1OU, KD2BOR.
Morning, Rocky. Good morning, Steve. Just getting ready to leave the house. Just wanted to jump in. So I sounded okay yesterday, Rocky, on cross panning.
You're like a kid with a new toy. You sounded fine, Joey.
All right, I just wanted to make sure. A couple times I didn't hear the courtesy tone, so I wasn't sure if I dropped out or what the story was. But yeah, it's a neat little feature. I'm real happy I learned how to do it.
Very good. It really sounded good. Joel, over to you, Steve.
Okay. Anyway, I took the scenic route home, and it hasn't panned out like we expected, so I'm going to be heading home, so let me concentrate on driving. Charlie, good to hear you in there, and I'll be listening for a little while, and we can pick it up in a little bit. KB2TIA, Victor's also out there, Charlie.
Oh, okay. Good morning, Victor. Steve, let me know where you're going to be. You know, text me where you're going to be when you and Jim go out. All right, let me get a few things done, and I'm going to head to the car in a little while. Let's see, KB2TIA, KD2POR, and KC2YJV. There we go, and 1LU. Catch you guys in a little while. Go ahead, Rock. You know what? Go ahead, Victor.
Victor was outside having a smoke.
Okay, catch you in a little while, M1LU.
Like a brownie.
KB2TIA, southbound on 135.